There are three stages of spiritual. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So the second stage of development is known as growing in grace or coming into the knowledge of the truth. Are you with me? Finally, the third stage is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 17 through 19. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. You can just make reference to these or you can turn to them because I'm going to be going back as we get deeper in the Word today. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward that believe according to the working of His mighty power. So the third stage of spiritual development is spiritual maturity. Amen? And so there's three stages of development. I'm going to go over them again. Number one is what's known as the new creature or the new convert, a.k.a. babes in Christ. Second stage is growing in grace, coming into the knowledge of the truth. And finally, the third stage of development is known as spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to understand this process. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. You must first go through the process of spiritual development before you go through the stages of spiritual development. You have to go through this process before you can enter into one of these stages. All right? Let's go to St. John chapter number 3. Verse number 1 through verse number 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Look at this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus said that three times. And so the first part of spiritual development, the first part of the spiritual development process is that you must be born again. In other words, you must get saved. You must confess your sins to God and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Listen to me closely. Going to church does not save you. Doing good deeds to other people does not save you. Giving money to the church or your favorite charity does not save you. Jesus said it three times. You must be born again. There are people sitting in church and are coming from week to week and are working in auxiliaries, helping to fulfill a vision of God, but they have not got born again. And I would rather that you hear it from me than to be deceived and go out into the world, Lord forbid, and die in your sins and be eternally separated from God. You have to be born again, church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. Some people think, well, you know, I'm in a good church. You know, I'm coming faithfully. I'm doing all the right things. But you never confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and confess your sins to him. I ain't getting a whole lot of amen, so that must mean I'm doing pretty good. So the first process is you have to be born again. Second part of spiritual development is found in Hebrews 10, 25. All right. Hebrews, it's back in the back, right, of the New Testament. Okay. There we go. Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The second part of the spiritual development process is joining a local church. God requires that you connect or you join a local church so that you can begin to learn of him. St. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, you can write it down in your notes for reference, says, Come and learn of me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where else can you learn about God and the things of God other than coming to church and being a part of a local church? The prophet Jeremiah 3:15 says that I will give you pastors according to my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of a pastor, to feed you the word of God on a weekly basis. God ordained it to be so, and so he appointed men and women of God called pastors, praise the Lord, to oversee his church and feed his people with knowledge and understanding. I never forget what Apostle Lockett shared. He said, what makes a pastor effective is his ability to bring understanding in the scriptures. And so if you're sitting in a church, those of you listening by audio may hear this by radio, you're sitting in a church and the pastor, the man or the woman of God, is not able to bring you understanding in the scriptures, then he's not effective. Amen. Or she's not effective. God wants you to have understanding in the Scriptures. He wants you to have knowledge concerning the things of God. And so He ordains pastors to be so. And He ordains it that you should be a part of a local church. I got one amen and one hand clap. The rest of y'all are not sure about that. I said, God ordains it to be so that you're to be part of a local church so that a pastor can feed you with knowledge and understanding. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Some people think, well, you know, I get my church on Sunday morning. I watch Bishop Jakes and I watch Creflo Dollar and I watch Bishop DeFrancisco and Bishop Banks. But that's not the will of God. The will of God is for you to be under a local assembly where you have a pastor, a man or a woman that speaks into your life on a weekly basis. Amen. Some of y'all think that, you know, hey, you don't realize the responsibility and the weight of a pastor, because when you become a part of this local church, I become and my wife becomes accountable for your soul. And so the Bible teaches us, write it down for reference, Hebrews 13 and 17, that pastors watch for your soul and have to give an account to God concerning you. And that they would do it with joy instead of with grief. Am I doing all right? And so every one of you that become members of this church, everybody that will join Next Generation, everybody that have worked in an auxiliary or have done anything, there will come a day when I will have to stand before God, my wife will have to stand before God, and we will have to account for your soul. And God will say, tell me about this brother. And I believe God, and I pray that I'll be able to do it with joy and not with grief. Tell me about this sister. And I pray that I'll be able to do it with joy and not with grief. Because the Bible says if I do it with grief, that it's unprofitable to you. That hit you hard, didn't it? Was that anointing or was that... Never mind. This is why I have a responsibility to preach the word. Preach the word in season. Preach it out of season, whether you like it or not. Because it's my God-given assignment, and I choose to please God over pleasing man. You'll see, once we start growing and once we start taking on people, people start saying things, well, you ought to preach a user-friendly message. The devil is a liar. I preach the word to 20 just like I would do to 2,000. Because I have a responsibility to preach the word whether you want to hear it or not. And if you're not walking out of here a little upset with me and mad at the caller, then I'm not doing my job. Because if all you're hearing is a bless me, bless me, bless me, you're doing well, things are going fine, then you never know what you need to correct in your personal life to come into the things of God so that you can obtain the things of God. Am I doing all right? So the second part of the spiritual development process is joining a local church. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I want everybody to go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. The third part of the spiritual development process is your responsibility to grow. Say this with me. Say, I have a responsibility to grow as a Christian. Say it again. Say, I have a responsibility to grow as a Christian. It is not my responsibility, it is not my wife's responsibility for you to grow up in the things of God. God gives you a personal responsibility to grow in the things of God concerning Him. Let's read the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. See, we're still anointed even though we're dressed down. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to mature in the things of God and transition from a babe in Christ, you have a responsibility to grow as a Christian. It has been often said that you are responsible for your own future. How many of y'all have heard that? You take responsibility based upon the choices and the actions you make or you choose to make or you don't make. And so what you do right now will determine your future 10 years from now, whether you realize it or not. I'm dealing with a young man on my job, and he wants to get into the military, but he can't because of some choices that he made 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago that are affecting him now. And so the same thing in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. You have to take responsibility for your own spiritual future. So if you just sit around here, you don't read your Bible, you don't study, you don't see the importance of prayer, you don't see the importance of coming to church on a consistent basis, you're taking responsibility for your spiritual future. 10 years from now, if you're the same way you were when you were when you got saved, it's not Pastor Paul's fault, not First Lady's fault. Guess whose fault it is? It's your fault because you did not apply the things of God. And so that's the third part of the development, is your responsibility to grow. The scripture says that you have a responsibility to study. So there should be some studying going on outside of church. All right. Now, how can I determine which stage of development that I'm in? Identifying stages. Let's start at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Is blessing anybody so far? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I shared with you that the first stage of development was the new creature or the new convert. These are some characteristics of the new creature, new convert. If you're writing notes, I want you to take this down. Unless you plan on buying the tape, still want you to write it down. All right. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Ye are not carnal, and walk as men. So these are some characteristics of a new convert. Number one, they've been saved for a short period of time. Normally, a new convert have been saved somewhere under 12 months. If you just recently got saved, if you're just kind of coming into the things of God, then you're considered what's to be called a new convert. 12 months or less, you've been saved. That means from the time that you gave your heart to the Lord to present should be less than 12 months. You're considered a new convert. New converts have to be fed with milk and not meat, because they cannot handle the fullness of the word, because they're unable to bear it. You see, the scriptures are new to them and the things of God are new to them. And so I have to teach and preach the word to them gradually, like you would feed a newborn baby. I thank God we have a young lady here with a baby in the audience. How's the baby? 3 months on Saturday. 3 weeks, excuse me, on Saturday. And she has a newborn baby. And so she cannot take pork chops and give to that baby, because that baby would throw that up. The baby would choke on it. The stomach would not be able to handle that. So it's the same thing in the spiritual realm as it is in the natural realm. So as a pastor, I cannot just throw you the fullness of this word because you can't handle it. You can't handle what God really requires of you, because some of the requirements would scare you. And so gradually I have to feed the word to you. That's the example of a new convert. You cannot give a baby a full course meal because their stomachs cannot handle it. So their meals have to be broken up into tiny bite-sized pieces or pureed so that they can live. And that's how I have to do new converts. I have to take the word and break it down into tiny portions, mash it together, and mix it up so that you can eat the word and you can live. And so what happens is, I may not straight out come out and tell you that fornication is wrong, or this is wrong, or that is wrong, but I'll take pieces of the word and I'll put it in there and I'll mix it all together. So you're getting it, but you're not getting it strong. You're still getting that word. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you hear me when I deal with new converts, I don't always come as strong as I do with people that have been saved for a while. Because new converts, they really don't know the things of God. And if I really give it to them like I should give it to them, it'd kill them. And they'd run from the church. That pastor is horrible. He's mean. Now, second characteristics. New converts are often easily offended, whereas you often may see them operating in a lot of envying, strife, and division. Some of them, not all of them. Sometimes they become envious of people, their possessions, etc. Little things or little storms will make them mad. That's what strife is. And so what will happen is something that would not bother this brother would bother a new convert. Brother Rogers can walk up to me and not speak to me, and I won't get an attitude about it because I know that, hey, man, he probably had something on his mind, something was going on, yada, 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 so on and so forth. But a new convert may take that personally. Oh, he's got it all against me. He walked past me, didn't even say anything, because they're not able to handle the word yet. And so that's what strife is. That's what division. So you often see this kind of characteristics in them. Third characteristics. New converts, new babes in Christ, often do not see the importance of personal prayer, corporate prayer, and praise and worship. You might see some of them looking around, playing around, standing around, watching what everybody else is doing, not participating, because they don't understand the importance of that. I share with y'all, whether we have a full band or whether we play by CD audio, I still lift my hands and praise God just like as we did, because I understand the importance of praise and worship. Whether we have 10 people in here while the minister elect is playing, or whether we have 100, I'm still praying fervently because I see the importance of corporate prayer and public prayer. But new converts often don't understand. Am I doing all right? New converts often don't understand that because they don't see the importance of it. Because they're fresh in the Lord and they're young in the Lord, and so we have a responsibility to bring them up gradually. Now, if you've been saved over a year and you're still doing some of these things that I mentioned, then you have not matured in the things of God. You have either digressed in the development process or you failed to develop as a believer should. Because you often see these characteristics in people that have been saved for a long time. Preach, Pastor. You right up my alley. I got people in this church that have been saved for a long time, and sometimes you can't tell them apart from a new convert. Because they act just like them. Now, your baby, you said, will be three weeks old on Saturday. Huh? Oh, she turned. All right, 3 weeks now. Now, what's the baby's name? Huh? Nasir. When Nasir turns 7, and if Nasir is still requiring a bottle and a pamper change, something wrong with Nasir. Because Nasir is not growing and developing properly. Am I doing all right? Would that concern you? Are you the mother? Would that concern you if Nasir was 7 and he still needed a pamper, he still needed a bottle, he still needed you to burp him like you're doing now? As big as, just picture 7 years from now, big as he is, my son is 8, he's in here somewhere, he's 7, come here. Big as he is, you know, picking this brother up, you know, come here, picking him up, Lord Jesus, burping him. I can't. That wouldn't look right, would it? Wouldn't you be concerned about your son if your wife still had to do that? Sure you would. Still, how many of y'all have seen, you know, it's not funny, but, you know, you've been in a store or something, you've seen a child 6, 7 years old, and they still trying to breastfeed off the mama. That's crazy. Something is wrong with that. Well, so it is in the natural. The same way it is in the spiritual. If you've been saved for a long time and you still don't see the importance of prayer, you don't see the importance of study time, you don't see the importance of corporate praise and worship, something is wrong with your spirituality. And you have either digressed or you have not developed properly like a Christian should. Am I doing all right? Second stage we talked about was growing in grace, coming into the knowledge of the truth. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, watch this, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the second stage is growing in grace, or what's known as coming into the knowledge of the truth. Normally you reach the second stage of development after you've been saved longer than 12 months. For those of you that are just getting in church, you know, after a year or so of this, there are certain things that pastor won't tolerate anymore. Because you've been walking with God long enough to know how to make transitions. Hello. And so notice that all of these texts start out with being saved. Verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God to Israel is that they must be saved. That's why I taught you earlier that the first process in this development is salvation. So once you get saved, then you come into what's known as coming into the knowledge of the truth. The second stage of development starts with what's known as a zeal. Pastor, what's a zeal? Zeal is what a person has after they've committed their lives to the Lord and have great aspirations, great enthusiasm, and a lot of energy. Peter, James, and John, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, those of you that know that Bible verse, they had what's called zeal. Jesus took them on the Mount of Transfiguration, and, you know, he transformed himself, and they saw Elijah, and they saw Moses, and they saw, you know, these different people on the mountain with Jesus, and they said, hey, Jesus, let's build three tabernacles right here. Jesus said, no, we got to go back down on the bottom side of this mountain and minister to the people that we left down there. But they had a zeal, and they had this great enthusiasm, and they had this great aspiration. And so you have a great zeal in the second stage of development. You want to do everything. You want to help out. You start out running a marathon like it's a 100-yard dash. A lot of people that get saved, they start out in this thing and they run Christianity. The Bible talks about Christianity being a race. And you run it like you're in a 100-yard dash, but it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Anybody here ran a marathon before? 30, 40 miler? Okay, how many miles? 10, 20, 30? 25 miles? Could you start sprinting the first 3 miles? That'd be ridiculous, because you need that reserve energy when you hit about that 23rd or 24th mile. And so that's what happens in the body of Christ. A lot of people start off sprinting, but they're in a marathon and not a 100-yard dash. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and 6 that you can't be quick to put people in position, because they're what's known as novices. They often are unexperienced and can be overcome with pride and fall into condemnation of the devil. And so you got to watch how people just, you know, they want to do this, they want to do that, they want to run, they want to do that, and they want to have a position, but you're not experienced in that thing yet. And you got to understand that there's going to be some days in Christianity where things ain't going to go right. People going to look at you funny. You're going to have to make some choices and sacrifices that's going to require you to take a stand for God. Amen. And if you're running this thing like a sprint, you will burn out prematurely. Let's go back to Romans 10. Verse number 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you'll see this characteristic in the second stage. You are saved, but you can be saved, but you can be ignorant to God's righteousness. And what happens is you go about establishing your own righteousness. In other words, you do what you feel is right even when it's wrong. Hello. And sometimes some people do that without conviction. They do what's right. They do something and they just kind of do it and they know it's wrong, but they do it without conviction. And they say things like, well, God will forgive me. Why? Because the scriptures say that you have not submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God. That's why I consistently stress the importance of coming to church, watching your company, changing your lifestyle. Because we often do not submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. Pastor, what's the righteousness of God? It's found in Genesis to Revelation. You can't just do something and think that it's okay because you don't know any better. That's establishing your own righteousness. You have to submit yourself to the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. Am I doing all right? Let's take a praise break. Come on. Just magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of God. Are you getting anything out of the stages of development? Third and final stage, and I'm going to let y'all go. I know y'all like that. Ephesians chapter 1. I know that I really need to spend more time in this, and I will, starting in our next couple of series. I'm going to teach you as a believer how to develop a prayer life. I'm going to teach you as a believer how to study your Bible. I'm going to teach you how, as a believer, how to go to the next level in God. But today I'm just kind of laying a foundation for what we'll be doing. For Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. The third stage of development is spiritual maturity. Let's look at the scriptures. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I want you to write this down. The third stage of development is a continual developmental stage because you never arrive. You may transition into spiritual maturity, but don't think for a minute that you have arrived. Hello. Because you have people in the church that think because they've been saved, they got some years under their belt, that they have arrived. And what God does is God gives you a little test or trial to let you see that you're really not at where you think you really are. That's good preaching, Pastor. Praise the Lord. It's happened in my life many times. I thought I was at certain levels with God, but God will tell you. And so that's the thing about God. You never arrive. You never get there. There's always another level. There's always another place where you can get to in God. But you should spiritually mature. Now, there are three levels of spiritual maturity. The first one is when, first level is where you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what the Bible says. That the God of our Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And so that's where you receive that. It is where you understand who Jesus is. He becomes more to you than a Jewish carpenter. Y'all seen that bumper sticker? My boss is a Jewish carpenter. You know, I go to such and such church. See, when you come into spiritual maturity, Jesus becomes more to you than that. You get a revelation of Him and you receive it through His word. And so what happens is when you come to church, you don't come to church depending on my spirit and my anointing. Praise the Lord. You come to church and what I minister to your spirit is what God have already ministered to you throughout the week. And we do what's called track it. And in so other words, God's ministering to your spirit. He's speaking into your spirit man throughout the week. And I just come out in here from week to week and confirm what God's already spoke to you. But it's not a level of arrogance, and it's not a level where, you know, I heard that, I'm already walking in it. But it is a level of you having some spiritual understanding in your spirit, man, that you can say, my God, you know, as the word is coming forth, that's the same thing God was sharing with me. That's the same thing God was showing me. I remember when I got saved and when I got the revelation of the spirit of wisdom, I still have it, but I had such a hunger for the word of God. When I first got saved back in 93, I had what's called an anti-demon kit. My wife had bought me some Dracar cologne. I know that's kind of old, but she brought me some Dracar cologne. And, you know, they had the gift pack with that, and that was the bag, the big supersized bag. You know, you can put two video cameras, all that good stuff in there. And so I filled that bag with the Word of God. I had Bibles in there. I had dictionaries. I had study aids. And every time I had a free opportunity, guess what I was doing? I was in my Word. I had a little pocket Bible about this big that would fit into a shirt pocket. And every time we got a break, I was in the military. Every time we got a break, every time we took lunch, every time we were sitting around wasting time, and other guys was talking about smoking and drinking and laughing and running women, all that, I pulled out that little red Bible and I read it from cover to cover, and I read the New Testament, then I read the Old Testament to the New Testament, then I read different chapters in the Bible. And what was I doing? I was receiving a revelation, because I wanted to know God. I didn't want Him to be the Jewish carpenter. I didn't want Him to be this guy that I just associated myself with once a week. I wanted a revelation. Am I preaching to anybody in here? I wanted a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. I wasn't trying to just be a pew member and a church sitter and somebody that just came and swept the bathroom floor. I wanted to know Jesus in His fullness. And every one of you should want to know Jesus in His fullness. You shouldn't just want to come here and just work and just sit down and just do what you want to do. You should want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second level is where the eyes of your understanding become enlightened. The Bible says that in verse 18, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. I'm almost finished. That ye what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. This is the level where you begin to understand your purpose. Amen. God, this is good, Pastor. You understand why God put you here on this earth. Amen. You understand why He called you, and why the sperm connected with the egg, and when things went wrong, when the man put the gun to your head, or when you was out selling drugs, or when you was out doing wrong, that none of that bad stuff came on you. Do I have anybody here? You understand what your purpose is and why God put you in the earth, to make a difference for you. It wasn't just to come to church and to sing in a pretty choir robe and to take up the offering and to play the drums. It was a purpose that God called you into existence for. Ah, God, I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody that knows their purpose. You know why you're here. You know why you're existing. I know why I'm here, church. I know God called me and he anointed me at a young age. Oh God, I feel you right now. I can remember years ago, I was driving to physical training in my souped up, where's Brother John? In my souped up, what was it, a Cutlass Supreme? 1980 Cutlass Supreme, two-door coupe. Jacked up in the back, 15-inch subwoofers in the trunk. It was hooked, y'all. But I had gave my heart to God, and I was driving to PT early in the morning. I had to be there by 6:30. And I remember telling God in my car, I said, God, I want you to use me at a young age. 10 of y'all missed that. I said, God, I want you to use me at a young age. Because I want the world to see that all the young men ain't out there selling dope, running women, doing all sorts of crazy stuff that does not bring you glory. And so I said, I want you to put your hand upon me and give me an anointing that'll impact nations. Amen. And I see God doing it now. What about you? Do you know why you're here? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why the bullet went past your ear and you heard it whistling and it didn't hit you? Hello? Do you know why you slept with tens and twenties and thirties of women, unprotected sex, and you didn't get AIDS? Do you know why your buddies in prison that you ran the street with, but you and got caught and got locked up, but you got away? Do you know why you're here today? Because if you don't know why, you just come into church for the wrong reasons. God put us here for a purpose, and when you get to the second level, you will begin to discover why God has you in the earth. Third and final level is that you will begin to experience the exceeding greatness of his power. You'll begin to experience and understand the power that you have available to you as a believer. Don't turn to it now, but Mark 16 and 17 says that, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. You begin to experience the power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, Lord, who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. You can go to the nursing home and you don't have to call your pastor. Amen. You can go to your mama that's been sick and been laying up in the hospital with 102 temperature, and you can lay hands upon her head and say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the devil that have attacked this body, and watch the devil flee. You don't have to wait on your pastor or your first lady, because God gave you that kind of power. But it's up to you, church, as to whether or not you're going to walk in spiritual maturity, or you're going to stay at a level of mediocrity and just have church as usual. This is just a sample of the power that is available to you. I trust today, those of you that are listening here in this congregation, those that are listening by audio and radio, will return to your homes and be able to discern where you are spiritually. That's my prayer to God, that when I finish and I shut this Bible, you'll be able to know where you are spiritually. And if you're not pleased with where you are spiritually, that you'll start making appropriate steps to come into the kingdom of God and his fullness. Stand on your feet. The process of spiritual development.